Why are you giggling?
I'm giggling because it's weird doing this. I haven't done this in a while. Hi everyone. My name is Karimi Kagwe. And you are?
George Kagwe.
And we are the Kagwes.
Yeah.
And this is September. What's the date today? Today is 12th. September 12th. And the last time we did videos was like 10 months ago. We took a break from shooting content for Just a Mom. And lately, actually not lately, I've been thinking about going back to doing content for a while now. And in fact, I was having a conversation with one of my friends last week, and she was telling me they only get to hear, she's single, they only get to hear the negatives about marriage. They only get to hear stories about marriages that are either breaking down or are going through crazy drama or
rough patches
or living in Kanairo, as it's called nowadays, Nairobi, and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I felt compelled to getting back behind the camera and doing
not really a camera, but just doing content.
Okay, yeah, doing camera.
Podcast, if you watch it, if you listen to it, yeah.
Exactly. Oh yes, we now have mics to do podcasts. And yes, it's important to have these authentic conversations about what's really happening on the ground to everybody and everybody, and especially for us. So yeah, so we are back, and we're hoping to, at least for the remainder of the year, to keep doing this. Yeah, today we're going to start off the conversation by talking about something that's very close to our hearts. If you're new here, we are married. We've been married for 8 years. Gosh.
It'll be 9 in April.
Oh my God, just like that. Time really flies. We have one daughter. Her name is Taji, and she's 6. And yes, so if you're new here, you can go back to and watch our previous conversations about going through, I don't know how to call it, infertility issues, but basically going through trying to have a baby, another one, and it hasn't worked. And I've had 2 miscarriages in the past. And now we are a one-child family. And we felt like this is not something that people talk about a lot. So today we want to actually have a conversation about how it's been having a one-child family. Yeah, the highs and the lows. And basically just how it's been. And I feel like I've talked a lot. So I think you should.
Are you rambling?
Am I rambling? I ramble when I'm either excited or nervous. Let me sip my cocoa as I'm being choked as well. So yes, so George, how has it been being a father to one?
So you've built context, and the context here is we are a one child family. Well, we have 3, but 2 will never saw in heaven.
Yes.
And I feel like there needs to be, we have to start this conversation from the times of like having conversations about marriage.
True.
And premarital classes. The truth of the matter is, no one ever tells you these things.
Yep.
No one will ever let you know and tell you that, it might be hard to get a child.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think I've really pushed Karimi for us to do this, is for us to have this authentic conversation around this whole thing, so that anybody who stumbles upon this or avid follower and you're probably looking to get kids, that this is a conversation you'll have with your partner, that what happens when it doesn't happen according to plan.
True.
Many people are like, yeah, we're 2, let's have 3, let's have 4.
Others, let's have 2, yeah, a girl.
Let's have, like, and then it happens that you don't get, and if you get, they are snatched away from you. So what happens?
Yeah.
And for me, I think that's where the whole conversation started from. It started from me just reflecting back and being like, like, for real, no one ever talks about this in premarital counseling. Everybody looks forward for the wedding. Every year is always, you're getting hitched. But then life happens.
And everyone keeps telling you, yeah, go forth and multiply.
Yeah, you know? And it's that thing, I watched even a funny TikTok. Like, it's never enough. Oh, you're single. You need to get in a relationship.
You need
to
get married.
Oh, you're in a relationship. You're not engaged yet. Oh, you need to get engaged. Oh, you're engaged. When are you getting married? Oh, you're getting married. Oh, when are you getting your first kid? Oh. You got your first kid. When is the second one?
Yes.
Oh, get any mwingine. Add another one.
Yeah.
And it becomes this whole conversation of, people and their
expectations,
and as well as couples. And that was our expectation. We thought it would be natural. We thought it's like animals. You mate and get pregnant. give birth, and you want another one, you just say, we have another one.
Yeah.
Let's have another one.
Mm.
But it's not that way.
Yeah.
And it's been tough, especially as going through miscarriage from that point. And I think even the whole thing about having one child, we have to look at it from that angle of, first of all, no one talks about it.
Yes.
Then secondly, from the family angle, it's from the parent's side and from the child's side.
Mm.
Because now our child is now 5 going 6 in 2 months.
Mm.
And she sees all other kids around her have siblings.
Exactly.
If it's family, if it's friends, everybody has stories. Oh, my brother did this, my sister did this.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She only has my puppy did this.
Yeah.
And
Taji has a puppy. We had to get her.
Yeah, we had to get her a puppy, like and a companion. And those are the things that now become tough in terms of having that conversation in regards to that. Like saying, she'll randomly, and she's, I mean, it depends on how you raise your kids. Ours is very expressive, and she'll express her feelings and be like, why am I alone, you know? When am I getting a sibling? When am I doing this? And it gets you into this thought process of, like, what's wrong with us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's up? And we're Christian, so of course you take that complaint to God, because there's nothing, like, first of
children come from him, first of all.
We just go on that faith venture before we start exploring what God gave us through science, which is IVF, which are very costly, which is something we'll talk about, and adoption, which is another thing. So from the angle of Taji, it's been very difficult for her, like, because she sleeps alone. she eats with us, yes. She plays most of the times her games. She's found a way of entertaining herself. She's now said she wants a YouTube channel and things like that. And we try as much as possible to get activities and do stuff, puzzles and stuff like that. From a parent perspective, it's a thing of, are we being selfish by not giving her a sibling, even if it's through adoption? Those are the questions that have come, like, are we being selfish? We are in this position. What can we do? What can we say? And it's been difficult to find. I mean, we know homes that are single kid homes, but it's been difficult to find people who are willing to open up. But yeah, that's my point. My point is just that, guys, it doesn't happen like naturally that you will get kids. Yeah, I understand that those people who don't want kids, fine. But there are those people who want and probably don't have. And they might be looking at us right now and they're like, at least you have one.
Exactly,
right? And we hear you and we feel you. We're not making a complaint, but this conversation has to be had from that perspective. Yeah.
True. Yeah, you made great points. And I don't even know where to start. I think I'll speak from the point of, maybe I'll talk about the fact that those societal pressures. Because I actually did a post recently. Was it last month? When it ended up on Tuko. Where I think that day I had it. I was sick and tired of seeing the comments. Any time we would do a post or George does a post on social media, there'd always be comments, especially when Taji is in the picture. If she's in the you know, the social media post,
she's
or whatever.
In the post.
Someone will comment and say, what was that comment that really... post, oh yes, this is what they said. They said Changam Kenny. Those ones for do what you need to do and get another child. And honestly, the I think I've gotten to the point where a lot of things on social media don't bother me, but that one riled me up. It acted me, and I'm saying act because saying angered me is not enough. Because I have heard of stories, people send me DMs all the time about how they've struggled with infertility because they've watched my miscarriage stories. And it's totally insensitive to come to someone you have no idea about their story. You don't know what they're struggling with every day. You don't know how hard it is to be a woman and to have your monthly period every month when you've been hoping and hoping beyond hope that you shall conceive and have a child. Then you meet this insensitive bugger on in line with this post, Changam Kenny, you know?
Akumbaf.
Telling me, Changam Kenny, have a kid. Yeah? You don't know how many years we've been trying. You don't know the struggles behind. You don't know how many tears. You don't know the prayers. You don't know the struggles. You don't know the depression that people go through or rather that I've gone through, trying to figure out where I went wrong, what I did wrong, or, you know, there's so many mental hurdles that you go through as a person individually, and then you meet people like that. So that's one thing I have to start by saying. We should, I hate saying this because it's so Nairobian, we should normalize being sensitive to people. Don't give them pressures about, don't impose your expectations on them. Don't force them to get married. Don't force them to have kids. If they don't have one, don't force them to have another one. Just be sensitive, be kind, for you have no idea what burdens people are facing. You don't know what struggles they're going through. Then the other thing I want to talk about is, Taji is basically a happy child. She's very extroverted, very confident. She makes friends easily. And the thing I feel has caused me the most pain is seeing her crying. Because we spend a lot of time together, especially, you know, bath times, eating, before she goes to bed, before when you do her evening prayers. She's been praying for a sibling for a long time. And she keeps asking, Mama, why isn't God giving me a brother or a sister? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and they're not coming. And most times, I'm usually speechless. I don't know what to say because it's such a deep need. It's such a deep desire for this five-year-old who's always telling me she's lonely. You know, we come from maybe a family function. We visited my parents and maybe my sisters who also have children are there and they've played the whole day. And then we come home and she's the only one going home alone. She's always telling me, Mommy, we're going home and I won't have anyone to play with. I want to have a brother or a sister to play with even in the house. Like, this is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
Daily occurrence. Like, she has to always ask why. And we are not the kind of parents to shut her down. And tell her that those feelings are, you know, like, nyamaza, or, you know, how we were. we're not very expressive when we're children. But I believe God has empowered us with the tools to understand that children actually have very deep, valid feelings and emotions that you have to teach them to deal with and walk through and stuff. So if she wants to cry, let her cry. Just hold her and we pray together. And yeah, the constant prayer continues. I keep telling our children, come from God, you know. And we don't know. We don't know why God chose this path for us, but He did. And we can't go into the shop and buy you a child or a brother and a sister. But I'm just trying to explain and share what the perspective as a parent and also as the perspective from Taji's point, where the children also have a deep desire to have a companion. So it could be something that couples should be aware of and to keep a note of and figure out how to handle that. We usually ensure that she has maybe we organize play dates, we organize activities where she's around other children, and so that she can feel that even when we're moving, we recently moved a few months ago, we ensured we moved into an area that has at least
some
children or people that she can play with.
Because
we play with her. But at 5 years old, Taji is very energetic.
Yeah.
You play with her and you think, we are good. 5 minutes later, she's like, next game. And next, it's never ending. And you can understand why she wants a kid, because children don't get tired like we do. So, yeah. So that's my perspective. That's been the hardest part, having to see my daughter cry because she's lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're out there and you have a single child, and how have you done it? You know, you can, there's a link below to our WhatsApp community for Just a Mom, and you can drop a voice note or you can write something, or even a video. You can drop a video and let us know how you've done it.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can continue just sharing amongst each other in that community.
Mm.
And for me, I think even during this time for Rona, it's been more difficult.
Yeah, difficult, yes.
For us to find even social activities for her.
Yeah.
She's
during lockdown.
Yeah, because she's blessed. She has a nephew, our nephew and niece, who she says they're like brother and sister. But they only see each other during school holidays or if there's a special occasion, and they live far apart. They live like 40 kilometers
up. We live in different counties.
Yeah, like 40 kilometers away from each other.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can't bank on neighborhood kids because
they have families. Own schedules. Yeah.
They have their own schedules and stuff like that. So it gets to that point where you, it's difficult even to try and connect with kids from school and their parents, especially where, like now it's a new school. Even from previous schools, especially during Rona, you don't know how the families are during this time and stuff like that. So it's just trying as much as possible to do activities, video games. She loves playing video games, so trying as much as possible to install as many video games on our PC and try and see if she loves them.
Yeah.
Trying to get her puzzles, trying to get her books, trying to get her coloring activities because she loves crafts.
Yeah.
Things that can just be able to give her more. More activities. I mean, I've even thought of therapy, but I was like, I feel like it was too early for us to start that.
You mean therapy and, like for Taji?
Yeah.
Okay.
For like Taji. And for her to be able to just go and express herself, especially to someone who's not us, you know?
Yeah.
And just get to have a conversation with someone. And it's, I think it's healthy.
True.
Probably when she turns six.
Yeah.
Because the more she's at six is the more questions she'll have.
Definitely.
And the more inquisitive she gets as to why,
yeah.
why me, why us, and so on and so forth, you know. Yeah. So for me, those are the concerns that I do have in regards to, in just regards to being, having a single child home. Other things are like how she's very possessive of her things.
That's like true.
When,
yeah.
And it's a thing of not having siblings. Like
everything even, is hers.
Yeah, if you buy her treats and so it's getting to the point where now I have to invoke laws. I'm like, I'm the revenue authority. KRA, Kagwe Revenue Authority of this home. 30%
has to be papa's.
Has to come to me. That's a good thing to teach her. But also, we've gotten to the point where now, even things like candy, we don't buy that much so that we share. So that she gets into that sharing kind of ecosystem or economy.
Yeah.
So that now, even when her friends come over, she's able to share. She's become more. And I've noticed it's really worked because even she carries break to school and she shares.
Yeah.
She shares it.
I've had her telling stories this week.
Yeah. Sharing. She shares all that stuff. And so I think it's become really... really easy in regards to that end of parenting. Because you see, when she has siblings, it's easy. If you buy a packet of crisps, it's a share with
it
your
has
sibling.
To be shared, yeah.
But now when she's alone, and probably we're trying to eat right and do all that stuff, so we try and minimize even candy and sweet things and just share whenever we get it, you know? And I feel that's a way of probably letting people know that's how you can, I don't know, instill discipline in a single kid home.
I like the fact that you brought up the whole how we handled how it became a little difficult during the corona period, especially last year and towards this year, because last year we had to pull her out of school. I mean, when corona hit, things were pretty difficult for us financially, and we had to make a choice between whether we'll pay school fees
or
pay rent and buy food. And of course, she was 4 years old at the time, and we felt that if she misses school, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And at the time, they were doing online classes, and I mean, we only signed up, I think, for one, and it didn't go that well. I mean, they just make a lot of noise. And at 4 years old, I don't think there was
value.
Yeah, at least for us. And so when we pulled out, we of course lost our slot in that school. And so when the schools reopened, we had to start from scratch and figure out how to, you know, find her a new school. And of course, I had considered homeschooling.
Yeah.
And we did homeschool for last year until, because I mean, we couldn't afford to take her to school or any other, I mean, that school or any other school at the time, or even an online program. So we just decided to use the books that we had at home and bought a few others from just, you know, textbook center, and basically helped her go through, you know, numbers, writing, just learning. Basically, she's four, so it wasn't rocket science. We were able to handle it, and both of us were actually hands-on on teaching her and doing all that stuff, and also allowing herself to express herself artistically. And then now 2021 came, and that's when we're like, hey, this child with issues, literally crying, asking to go to school. Because you see, we understood that for her, school is not about education. It's about socialization.
Social activities.
See, being around other children. She was always with us, with her father and her mother. And now she's like, hey, guys, I want to go to school because I want to have friends to play with.
Yeah.
And so we would have loved to continue homeschooling because we're even considering different curriculums. I mean, we had spoken to Regulata KE. We'd spoken to my friend Melissa, who I have talked to about homeschooling on this channel before. She's my go-to on anything homeschooling. And we agonized about it. I especially did. I mean, it used to keep me up at night trying to figure out how to sort Taji out in terms of homeschooling. I mean, we're here in 2021 trying to rebuild ourselves financially because 2020 was, you know,
tough.
And we both made the decision to go back to work. So the choice to homeschool was no longer an option. And I remember we've had this conversation actually with, this is just a caveat, but I remember having a conversation about with Melissa, Melissa Wahu, and I was talking to her about the struggles of having a, you know, just Taji being alone. And I remember she said something so powerful about, don't worry about her because God made her an only child for a reason. He's probably preparing her for something great in future. Because whatever she's going through now is equipping her for her purpose, her journey on earth, and all those things. And I loved that perspective. And that has gotten me through a lot of many depressive episodes where I'm wondering, oh my God, when am I going to get another kid for Taji? I mean, another sibling for Taji. And anyway, yeah, so back to choosing an education for her. We looked for a school that had a playground that was heavy on play and, you know, was coming from artistic, I mean, creative parents. We're not the kind of people who'd look for a school that was number one in KCP or number one in, you know, whatever.
We're not more
about academics. We are more about the wholeness and the whole, what's the word? Anyway, the whole, like,
holistic
outlook in terms of education. So we're more about, are they, do they teach using, you know, are they techies? I mean, do they believe in using technology? Because that's the future. That's not the future, it's the now. We're primarily 24/7 on smartphones or, you know, laptops and things like that. Are they big on play? Do they have extracurricular activities? The number of children in class was
eight.
I don't think they're even 10. They're about that number. It's a relatively new school, and it's going great. I mean, she's thriving. She's been there a few. This is her first term. So basically, my point was that her being an only child has also played a huge role in how we've chosen schools for her.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't call that a high or a low. It's just a fact. It's been a driving force as to how we've chosen, how we've deliberately chosen a school to cater to those needs.
You know, speaking about that thing of like one kid, it's all about like, I mean, the advantages to it. It's not that it's all bad.
True.
The advantages especially come when it's all about like expenses.
True story.
Like when you think about school fees, you think about buying clothes for your child. I mean, I see guys with four kids, they have to do a thrift store, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but you know,
also go to
thrift you go now to the places with bales.
Sorry, like, you're so bougie. Did you just say thrift store?
Yeah, see, like toy and stuff for international audience.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, that's so there's You see, there's that need for you to be able to, you know, double down on saving on costs, and it makes sense. When you think about going on a holiday, well, we never go on holiday just with her. We go also with our nephew and niece. But, you know, if it's just an out-of-town quick thing, you're just paying for three guys. You just have one kid.
That makes sense. You don't charge her because she's
five. Yeah, because she's still five. When you're going to a restaurant, you can also budget differently. In fact, we talk about like with our neighbors because they have three kids. It's very different, and that's the reality. Like with three kids, you have to budget going to a restaurant. Like you're going to have to pay for three kids.
Yes.
Right? For them to eat. if they're eating a burger,
yogurt stinks.
Like if you're eating a burger, that burger unaripa mara tatu. If it is 1200, that's 3600 baht.
True.
Right? But you see, for one kid, it's like 1200 bob. And those are the advantages that are there in regards to having one kid, one child. It's easy for you. If things are tough, you can now go down in terms of a housing. If you're in a 3-bedroom, you go down into a 2-bedroom. And so on and so forth. So I feel like even for a car, you don't need to like invest so much. Exactly. You know, we've just had the same car for like 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And those, it's helped us to be able to take our money elsewhere or even recoup, have time to recoup and so on. And for me, that's, it's a good advantage, especially speaking to the people who said like, we'll only have one kid.
Yes.
Like I get them.
I get them.
And yeah, in regards to from the parents' perspective, that's cool. From our daughter's perspective, she gets to eat all the ice cream she wants. All the grab, all the snacks.
All the attention.
All the attention.
Yes.
And, you know, so I feel like that's an advantage, you know. If there are any advantages you may have, again, the link to our WhatsApp is below.
Yeah.
You can be able to hit us up and join our community and we get to have more conversations about this. Yeah. And
would love to hear from you, because you see we are still on the journey, and would love to hear especially the positives and even the negatives, because it's important to, I feel like sometimes I need the encouragement, and yes, hearing other people's stories and their own journeys on how it's been having one child, it would help me to keep going and to understand that anyway, it's true, it's all in God's plan and everything he does is for our own good. And yeah, so this brings us to this conversation. What about adoption? Why haven't you considered adoption? Why haven't we actually haven't sat down and talked much about, of course we've had conversations about whenever Taji will share about how lonely she is, we'll share how we are feeling in response to that. I mean, like before we go to bed and things like that. But we've never really fully sat down and said, hey, now let's get down to it and figure out our fertility issues. I mean, I'll be honest, I last went to a gyna in like 3 years ago, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're listening to this, it is important to have regular...
But we were broke.
I know, that's why I was coming to that. It is important to have regular checkups, especially for women. You know, even to have regular pap smears and things like that. But we've been, again, like we've shared, trying to figure out where to spend the money, how to spend the little money we had. At the time, seeing a gyna was not... Wasn't a priority. Yes, so the last time we saw the guy now is when I had my fibroid surgery in 2018. And it went well, and we did the 6 weeks or the 8 weeks checkup. I can't even remember. We were supposed to go back after 6 months and life happened. We should have a podcast, an episode about that, by the way, when life happened. And... actually, the doctor who did the surgery is actually a fertility specialist. Shout out to you, Dr. Wanjiro.
Wanjiro Degwa.
Where Footsteps to Fertility is an amazing resource for people who are trying to figure out their fertility and would need, you know, the consultation of some sort. Or I know she does do IVF for couples and things like that. And we haven't... our faith, I think, has been pretty strong, and not to say that people don't have faith, but our minds have been so steadfast on allowing God to do his thing and letting life happen. We haven't considered IVF or even adoption, but we did start having conversations about adopting a child, actually pretty recently, if not this weekend. It was this weekend.
Yeah. Last week, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's a page I follow on Facebook that is like a support group or like an information resource for those who have adopted or who are planning to adopt. And we've been talking about it, and I don't know, I'm 50-50. We've talked about this before, we would love to bring raise another child who may not have had parents or maybe has had a hard start to life. and probably is an orphan and is in a children's home. And if, I mean, if God has blessed us, we would love to take care of another child. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm at. Where are you at with that whole adoption thing? Would you, is it an option for you? Have you considered it?
Yeah.
When you think about it, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've talked about some times.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we wait and keep on trying, shagging, as to get to get pregnant and stuff. I remember for you, you had given it, what was it, 2 years? This was in 2020?
It's been 3 years since my surgery, and you're so let's say 2019.
I remember last year you said 2 years.
Yeah. There you go. I know the fact that you remember. I don't.
So that's the first place. Then secondly, also, it's just as we do our prayers and we just pray up to God and we're like, yo, show us what is up. What do you want us to do?
Mm.
It's just been a clear like wait kind of thing.
True.
Although I don't take it lightly that like we've now started talking about adoption seriously, because I feel like some of these things are just God-led, you know, most of these things.
Yeah.
They're just God-led. And even having that conversation with Taji, for example.
Yeah, we talked to her like showing yesterday. Her,
and she's like, yeah, she doesn't mind, like, you know, and explain to her what adoption is. Mm. This is a child who's not come from mommy's tummy, but we'll still take them. They'll become ours. We'll love them like they came from us, you know, and that for me is a good sign. So even I'm open to it. We've always talked about adoption. We used to say that we'll get two kids of our own and adopt two others. Yeah. So
and then we plan and God
laughs.
And is that thing even biblical, by the way?
No. It's just having just a light touch to life.
True. So life happens.
Yeah. So for me, I'm like, adoption is an option, but also the other thing is we don't want to do it to give Taji a sibling.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be a wrong reason. It's like having that reason of, oh, let's get a child to just give our child.
Or let's fix our family.
Let's fix the relationship we have with our daughter.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't feel right doing it that way. It has to come from a point of we want to expand our family. It's something we're looking at and we're like, we want to do something over and above ourselves. It has to be a genuine
desire
and reason, not just a selfish one of we're bringing this kid in so that our kid can have a playmate. You know?
Got you.
Yeah, so that for me, that's my stand.
Okay. It's good to know. I think I'm still on. I'm at peace with the I think my answer is I'm 50-50. I'm at peace. I feel like this is the year I finally made peace with having one child, and I'm at peace and I'm happy with it and I'm content. I get sad when Taji gets sad, but I'm mostly content. And I have joy because joy is a permanent. What's the word? You know, happiness is something that's fleeting, but joy is more permanent because it comes from God. It's from outside your situation and outside your circumstance. So for me, I have joy as a mother of one living child. So I do believe as we continue to talk and have these conversations openly, it will become clear. Like, I'm not worried about it. And if anything, these last 2 years, what we've learned and what the biggest lesson has been is to just take every day as it comes, and to fully trust that God has got it to Kombele. I don't know if I'll be alive tomorrow. Why am I worried about tomorrow?
Yeah, you are saying, why are you worried about tomorrow?
Yes, I'm basically saying, yes, there's literally no reason to be worried about tomorrow. Yes, and that's my stand. My stand is whatever path we do choose to take or whatever decision we do choose to make, every day, just live every day as it comes and fully leave the rest to God. Because carrying those burdens in my heart and in my mind has been such a heavy thing, and I'm not doing it anymore. It's easier to travel light and just pray and move on. So yeah, one thing I want to say is that George has been 100% supportive, and I want to publicly say thank you, because I know there have been stories where women have even been dumped because they've not, you know, they've not conceived or they've not had many children. And I'm thankful that you're my partner. You're not, you weren't here just to get babies from me and build your lineage and to, you know,
a kingdom
and like a true African man. You want to spread your seed and grow your kingdom. And I felt the love, I felt the support. I mean, it's been a really long, long and hard journey. And yeah, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're in this together. You sure you're sure you don't want to marry somebody else?
Who do you have in mind?
Yeah. And the person you want is already married. George has a celebrity crush called Megan Good. So I think if that one ever came to Kenya, yeah, post her photo here. So for those who don't know who she is.
Yeah, but I think that thing of, you know, Sisi, us Africans, we have problems.
Problems, huh?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just the women who go through it. I think there are also men who probably could be, they can't get kids.
Yeah.
And you find women go to other men to do that. And we really need to just check ourselves. Like, it's not a mark of manhood per se. That's not real manhood. The fact that you can't produce a kid. You understand?
Yeah.
You can still be a father. You can still, I mean, there's so many idiots out here who have kids, but they're not fathers to these kids.
Whoa.
You understand?
You mean dads, they're not dads.
Yeah, they're not dads.
Can the be father, a father, but they're
the
not
father
dads.
These kids, but they're not dads.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And so that should not be like a mark of, you know, a mark of, or stripes you're given on your shoulders that, yeah, how many kids do you have? And we have that a lot. Eh? We
you
have
do?
That. Yeah, we have that stupidity.
So you've encountered it as a man, like you
yes.
say that all the time.
And for me, it's so bad because it comes from Christians. They're Christians, even pastors. I remember I blasted one pastor from a certain church that I was going to, and then I just went to visit.
Yeah.
And the first thing, this guy, it's like they find joy in asking those questions of how many kids do you have? Oh, how many kids? And he's going around, how many kids do you have? How many? Then he reached me and I was like, I just have one kid. And he's like, hey, you guys are not getting, what's up? You know, what's going on? You know, that thing of like, you're not getting busy.
The audacity.
And I remember I was going to keep quiet. Everybody else is smiling, but you can tell it's an awkward moment.
It is.
Mm. And I just told the guy, like, dude, you have to be emotionally intelligent. Use EQ. Like, you have brains. Use them. You can't just come open your mouth to flock. And you don't know what they're going through.
True.
You get, this is the crap that makes people just run away from church.
Very true.
Because we're here, you're flappy gums. You're just yapping. You get. And I was very categorical. I was like, bro, like, I'm telling you this with tough love, eh? Like, you don't go doing that.
Yeah.
Get it straight. Get it in your head. That is not automatic for people to get kids.
Yes, it's not.
You get.
Yeah.
And I think it just comes from that whole thing of like African culture. You don't see it a lot in the West. I'm not saying that we should follow the Western culture, but it's something that is in society today where you find that even is grounds for someone to go be and cheat and be infidelity and
yeah.
you know, cheat on the first wife and bring a second wife just cause they couldn't get a child. It goes even bad. It's even worse where people now come and say, I didn't get a son. Who am I nipatia wanawake wanne? This
who
one
you?
Has given me four kids.
Who you?
Four girls.
Not knowing that it's up to a man.
Exactly.
What kind of...
And you see, again, it comes from that. And then...
It's scientifically proven.
There are some who go and find out, oh, shucks, I'm the one who's actually impotent. Shooting blanks.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel there needs to be that conversation in society. And that's where we're having it. It's not anybody's fault.
Yes.
You understand?
It's out of our control.
It's out of our control that we can't have kids. Yeah, you can go for all those things that are correction. You can do IVF. And those are things God has given men brains and women brains to be able to do all these things. But this crap of, it's a mark of going around and how many children do you have?
Thumping your chest.
I have five. Two sons and three girls. Or three sons and two girls. And thumping your chest. I'm like, nah. it shouldn't be the mark of manhood. And I don't take it as a mark of manhood.
Mm.
A mark of manhood is how you deal with situations, tough situations.
Mm.
It's how you deal with difficult situations with your family, with your wife, with your partner, with the person that you have committed to be in love with and love all through, in tough times, good times.
Mm.
You know, that's the mark of manhood. It's not that person who runs away and goes to hide so that he can have street cred. And so that you have cred and you're like, yeah.
Mm.
I have now. Now I have. I got a son, you know? Mm. Like, it's just, you're a kumbaf. That's what you are.
I get you. Wow. Yeah, you've given me perspective.
Yeah, so there's that. And I know there are also men who that has happened to them. Like, the ladies have... They're like, you're not giving me whatever, you know, sons, and you're not giving me children, and so they go and get kids with someone else, right?
Mm.
And at times it's even a secret.
It is.
At times it gets to a point where it's a secret, where you believe it's your seed.
Yeah, but it's not.
Then one day you come and you find out later on in life, you're like, what?
Yeah.
I was duped.
Yeah.
You know?
And that wouldn't actually happen if people were... didn't actually put such a heavy burden on the couple.
And we're putting the heavy burden, why?
Yeah.
Again, it's not even, it's not about society putting the heavy burden, yes, but even couples put that heavy burden on themselves because you're trying to live life for others. You're trying to show other people that, yeah, we could get kids. And there's so much pressure. That pressure is so much, it's so much, especially in our circles, right? It's, in the church, it is huge. Like, it's already an expectation. This guy's got married, they will get kids.
Mm. And it's actually like a sign of blessings. And if you don't, you have not been blessed.
Exactly.
Which is such a wrong image of God.
We need to really have reevaluate and redefine this whole procedure and process from the point of people getting. Like, we have to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you see people dating and you just tell them, hey guys, just love each other.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Don't measure your success of your family and marriage that you have this many kids.
True.
You know, and for us, even around us, like, all our friends are getting 2 kids, 3 kids. You know, we can't come back and start measuring and be like, shucks, how come I'm not getting kids?
Mm-hmm. Or
it's the same thing. Like, do you measure your family by how many cars you have?
Exactly.
So-and-so, they bought a car. Us, we've had our car for 15 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shucks, we are failures.
Yeah. That doesn't make you a failure. No. That's true. I think it's basically when people are told to stay on your lane or live within your means, or, I mean, it all comes down to every decision you make as an adult. If you learn to live for yourself and accept your journey and accept that this is, I think it takes a lot of self-awareness, accepting that this is who I am and this is my marriage, this is my family, this is my life, and we're going to live our life the way God has set it, and also how we want to live it. And that's possibly why, not possibly, it is why we have a very, what's the word? I remember you used to tell me this early in our marriage and even early in our relationship, that we should just learn to create our own world. And that's basically what we've done. We're not the people you'll see out and about a lot. And if we do, it's mostly family related. Because we realize that being around certain circles is going to negatively affect your mental space, and also now comes with all those pressures. And so if you're living around people who affect you negatively in terms of how you see yourself, if it makes you hate yourself or start to doubt yourself or start to think there's something wrong with your family, or, you know, you're like, God, like God has mentioned, the measure of how many cars or how many children or where you live or how much you make, then you're going to have a very hard life. Just learn to live your life a simple life. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what God has blessed you with, and just live, be content. I love that verse for, I should Google it. Just Google it for me over there. It basically, to paraphrase, just to live a quiet life, learning to mind your own business. And I love the Bible because it actually talks about every single situation. Internet, hey Lord. Allah? No, internet secured. Just give us a second as we check for that Bible verse. But basically what it speaks to is just live in your corner, follow God, mind your own business, and be content. Because at the end of the day, it's not, this life is yours to live. It's not your neighbors, it's not your family members, etc. So, yeah. I think it was in, yes, Thessalonians 4:11-12, that one at the top. Let me read it. 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And that's how I'm going to end this discussion for me. That basically covers everything for me. Yeah. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands.
Mm.
Yeah. That's me. Would you use any, would you have, do you have another parting shot? That is my parting shot.
No, I already said mine.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. Reach out to us. Click in the link below for WhatsApp. You can be able to join the Just a Mom WhatsApp community, helping Karimi this plugin. And then you can subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow the Facebook and Instagram platforms, Just a Mom Kenya. And we'll be seeing you when we see you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Can't wait to hear from you. And let's keep talking. Bye.
Bye. Much love. Mm-hmm.
Mwah, mwah. He's making fun of me because that's what I do with Taji. I say, mwah, mwah.